This is Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. I hope you and your community are staying safe in your city. Later in our episode, we'll hear about something even I've been struggling with lately, how to ease some of the irrational fears and worries impacting us during the pandemic. We'll also discuss Pride Month, which is June, and moving those often lively in-person celebrations online. And our healthcare hero is a nurse working at Lowell General Hospital in Massachusetts. In addition to her duties providing medical care, she's helping COVID-19 patients in her hospital make their stays a little bit homier. But now our news update. Despite the coronavirus pandemic still raging on, protesters around the globe have been gathering to call for an end to police brutality, especially in Black and brown communities. These gatherings of thousands of people, often not very socially distant, have caused many health experts to become concerned. The New York Times reports in Los Angeles, Mayor Eric Garcetti warned that the protests could become, quote, super spreader events. Some infectious disease experts were reassured by the fact that the protests are being held outdoors, saying the open air settings could mitigate the risk of transmission. In addition, many of the demonstrators were wearing masks. But the tear gas and pepper spray, which police have often used to disperse crowds, cause people to tear up and cough and increase respiratory secretions from the eyes, nose, and mouth, further enhancing the possibility of transmission. With stores and businesses rushing to reopen and reopen safely, a new industry is forming around social distancing consultants. Radio MD Scott Webb has more on what exactly they do.
Though most of us had never heard of social distancing until a few months ago, the practice has become a part of life for Americans, and unsurprisingly, we now have social distancing consultants. When Philadelphia restaurant designer Raymond Haldeman began having projects put on hold due to distancing concerns, he decided to pivot and become a distancing consultant. His new tagline is, quote, specialty design for social distancing. His website now states that he specializes in distancing consulting, rebranding, and physical modifications to enable restaurants to, quote, thrive under today's new reality. This so-called new reality has raised many questions, such as when installing a plexiglass screen, how large should it be? What's the best way to redesign an office floor plan to limit interactions? Should employee temperatures be taken every shift? And what about customer temperatures? All good questions, and it appears there's a large pool of consultants to answer them for business owners and consumers. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
Another drug is experiencing shortages after increased demand during the pandemic, the antidepressant Zoloft. Demand for the drug rose 12% year over year in March, according to Bloomberg, and the FDA added it to its shortage list May 29th. Generic drug makers told the FDA they just weren't able to get enough active pharmaceutical ingredients to make the drug. For some, the idea of reopening the economy is exciting, marking a return to a so-called normal. But for some, it's a bit scary, thinking of second waves of outbreaks and not being able to trust other people to follow the rules. With more on how to manage your anxiety around the country reopening, we go now to Radio MD's Bill Klaproth.
With the country reopening, the days and weeks ahead are sure to bring a good deal of anxiety, as so much uncertainty remains about COVID-19. So how can you deal with it? According to WebMD, one of the ways is to move through anxiety. So anxiety often makes itself the center of our attention, leading us to ask questions like, why do I feel so much anxiety? Or how can I stop feeling anxious? Well, letting anxiety hog the spotlight just creates more tension and distress and can lead to a feeling of paralysis. So when you're experiencing anxiety, ask a different question. What task needs my attention right now? Then redirect your energy toward doing what needs to be done, allowing anxiety to exist in the background. Hopefully that technique works for you. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
And we've been told there's a variety of ways to catch coronavirus, through surfaces or contact with another person. But another less common way we've heard about is through the eyes. The CDC says that while the nose and mouth are the main avenues by which someone catches the coronavirus, it may be possible that a person can get COVID-19 by touching a surface or an object that has the virus on it, and then touching their own mouth, nose, or possibly eyes. That's because any sort of open mucous membrane is a chance for a droplet to land there and get into your body. So far, studies have found that among hospitalized COVID-19 patients, only a small percentage of those who had the fluid in their eyes swabbed for the virus did in fact test positive for the virus in their eyes. Now, our brains are designed to keep us alive. Fear is that mechanism. The problem is worry, which is anticipatory fear. That is occurring in rampant form during the COVID-19 pandemic. People are trying to offset some of that uncertainty by attempting to gain control, manifesting in things like hoarding food and toilet paper. Dr. Roger Hall is the author of Staying Happy, Being Productive, and he joined Dr. Holly Lucille on her RadioMD podcast, Mindful Medicine, to share tips for easing some of the irrational fears and worries impacting us during the pandemic.
So fear, it's a big thing going on right now. I see it in myself. I see it in my patients. I see it in my family members. And let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You ever hear those motivational speakers who say, we're going to help you live beyond fear? That's a ridiculously bad idea. You know, there are those pickup trucks that have no fear on the back. And yeah. You ever notice how they're always in the ditch? Fear keeps us alive. You don't want to get rid of fear.
Right.
The wonderful thing about fear is that it is adapted to keep us alive. Our brains keep us alive. The problem is worry. So worry is all, fear is always present tense. Fear will always help us stay alive. Worry is anticipatory fear. So what might I do? And so what I don't want people to think is that we need to get rid of fear, but anticipatory fear is the thing that is the most problematic.
Yeah, and people are having a lot of anticipatory fear, mostly because I think of the unknown and also the fire hose of information, and I would say some misinformation that's available everywhere 24 hours a day.
Yeah, there are two parts of that, one of which is it's uncertain. And anytime there's uncertainty, it increases our levels of anxiety. If you've ever gone to the dentist and you have dental phobia, by the time you're in the chair, you're pretty much resigned that you're going to suffer the pain. It's the waiting room that's the problem, because there, there's still a chance for escape. And so what we know is that if you give somebody an option of, do you want certain pain or uncertain pain? Uncertain pain creates greater anxiety than certain pain. So we have all this unknown, and as a result, people, they're trying to control their environment. Fear and control are inextricably linked. Anytime I take my dog on a walk, I always take a leash. Why? Because I have a legitimate fear, knowing my dog, that he's gonna see a squirrel and go run off. So anytime we have fear, we try to exert control. So as we see people having worry and fear, what we see is they're trying to control their environments, which is why people are buying toilet paper and people are buying whatever they can to control any aspect. But when we can't control things, when things are outside of our control, we shift to information gathering. And your listeners in New York will know this, that if you're standing on the subway platform, there are two places that people look. One is at their phone and the other is down the track. And so people will look down the track for 5 minutes in an attempt to get an 8-second advantage over the people who are looking on their phones. So when we don't control things, like when the train is coming, what happens is it increases, our level of anxiety. When's it going to come? When's it going to come? When's it going to come? And it gives us very little advantage. Another example of fear and information gathering is the Weather Channel. None of us control the weather. That's why the Weather Channel exists. It's a $385 million a year enterprise based on and people, trying to gather information when they're afraid. The same is true here with the coronavirus. People can't control it, and so they seek information gathering, and they turn on the news. And the news, for all of its advantages, is designed to scare the heck out of us. Nobody's going to watch the news if it's all good news. And so it's like slowing down to watch a car crash. That's why lots of people watch the news, and all of that just increases their level of anxiety.
You can hear this interview in full on another Radio MD podcast, Mindful Medicine, found on all podcast platforms. Also joining us today is Taraj, a singer and songwriter with some insights on how to best leverage technology to collaborate and celebrate the LGBTQ plus community in 2020, despite the cancellation of many in-person Pride events nationwide. So obviously the big issue here is that in-person events are canceled, you know, all over the country, all over the world. What silver linings do you see in some of these virtual Pride events for this summer?
Definitely one of the biggest silver linings for me is access to so many prides and free shows. Because normally we would only go to basically one pride, and it's normally the pride that's within our local area. But with all of these virtual prides, it really gives us an opportunity to essentially like pride hop or go on like a pride tour where you could check out New York Pride or South Florida Pride, check out Toronto. With Global Pride coming up, there are actually prides that you could check out in Europe, Asia, and Africa, and that's amazing. And also one of the more personal silver linings that I find is that it gives an opportunity for those who are not necessarily out or feel comfortable to attend Pride in person. It really gives them an opportunity to get a sense of the spirit of Pride. And to me, that's something that's really huge and endearing. It also gives access to those who may not actually have access to Pride as well. So that's a big deal.
That's really interesting. I never really thought of that. So what have you been doing just since COVID-19 hit to amplify not only your voice, but the voice of the queer community?
Oh, so I'm a big travel enthusiast. and we're all at home with absolutely nowhere to go. And, you know, it's really hard to stay connected and positively motivated. So when I was asked to be the host of the show Gay Travel Today by Saggy Travel Friendly, which is a huge innovator and leader in the LGBTQ travel industry, it was such an incredible opportunity for me to connect with other LGBTQ plus enthusiasts. And through these flash briefings, you can hear me every day sharing tips, hot travel topics, pride updates and events, and also giving a little bit of inspiration and encouragement to the community, especially during these times. I mean, that's been a way for me to really be able to amplify my voice during these times.
And so when it comes to Pride celebrations this year, how do you think we can keep the momentum going, you know, when so much is getting canceled and, you know, there's just kind of a negative vibe with coronavirus going on?
I would probably say that instead of like the focusing kind of on it being like a negative thing, it's imperative kind of more than ever that we celebrate Pride and kind of foster a sense of community, even if only virtually, because our community is resilient. And I feel like we're always finding innovative ways to come together, even though we have to be separate from each other. And the advent of all of these virtual festivals, events, and I've even seen some happy hours, that's incredible. And for me, I honestly think that the hardest part is actually awareness and knowing where and when these events are actually happening. So I'm glad that through Gay Travel Today and those Amazon flash briefings that I can actually contribute to the community by sharing those resources that aren't necessarily readily available to everyone within the community. So I would just encourage everyone to tune in for those regular updates and to be able to celebrate Pride all summer long.
Besides, of course, your own podcast, are there any, you know, Pride events you're looking forward to or any kind of queer online, you know, happy hours and stuff that you've been tuning into that you really like?
I'm actually really looking forward to Global Pride in June because I've never attended a Pride outside of, I guess, the U.S. and Canada. So I'm just really looking forward to checking out what it's like in Europe, in Asia, and Africa. And, I'm also going to tune in to a couple of kind of more talking style events because during Black Pride for Washington, D.C., Kenya Hutton is going to be hosting an online panel, and I'm super excited to check that out.
Taraj, with all this talk of Pride celebrations, what does Pride mean to you?
Oh man, pride. My sense of pride is basically constantly evolving on a daily basis. But I guess in a nutshell, it's really having the courage to live as our true and authentic selves and celebrating our differences and basically those things that make us unique. And it's all about spreading the powerful message that love is love, mm-hmm. and never to necessarily feel ashamed or less than because we love a little bit differently from our hetero counterparts. And really and truly just being free to live and love however you truly feel deep within your soul, and just never being afraid to do just that.
Wrapping up here, I mean, how have you just been getting through the crisis that we're all kind of in right now?
Just keeping myself occupied and doing my best to stay positively motivated, because it's comforting knowing that I'm not alone. We're not alone in this. Everybody's going through this together and all at the same time. So just staying the course and just working really hard to have a good headspace to get through this time, because we will get through it.
Well, Taraj, thank you so much for your time this morning. I appreciate it. And thanks for your positivity. Hear more from Taraj on his podcast, Gay Travel Today, on Amazon's Alexa. Gina Barberi is a nurse working at Lowell General Hospital in Massachusetts. In addition to her duties providing medical care, she has been helping COVID-19 patients cope with loneliness and a no-visitor policy by helping to keep their spirits up, including decorating rooms with family photos through her project Pictures for Patients. Gina, tell us about this idea. How did you get started doing pictures for patients?
So it actually, it all started with just an old friend from high school reached out, you know, a little bit more towards the beginning of all of this, just offering some support, you know, for medical workers. And after talking a little bit, I found out his father was in our intensive care unit, was actually quite sick. And, you know, I was going in the next day, so I'd had an experience the week before that just made me realize how heavy it was that families couldn't be in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so I offered, you know, if there was anything like pictures that they wanted me to bring into them, I could, because I was going in anyways. So the next day before my shift, drove by their house. They had put some pictures in the mailbox and I brought them in. The ICU nurse that was taking care of him, you know, help me get the pictures into the room. So, cause you know, precautions and everything, we were just limiting our exposure. Just seeing how helpful that was and how happy they were when I told them that we successfully got the pictures to the room, and you know, they were hung up on his wall for him, and just hearing how happy they were. And it was almost a slight sense of relief for them. Just seemed like something that maybe a lot more people could benefit from.
And for you personally, I mean, why go this extra mile to kind of help patients during all of this?
So I think it all comes down to their living. You know, my worst nightmare was all of this. A lot of the fear is that my family or my friends are going to end up in the hospital and I won't be able to see them. Mm. And, you know, I had a very stern phone call with my parents specifically at the beginning of this that said, if you need the hospital, you're coming to mine. And, you know, because they live a little bit away. And so I think just like already having that fear inside of me, and then at work seeing these people that don't have their family with them, and just thinking about how terrible that would feel if I was them, it felt like something I could do to help at least.
And how have patients and their families reacted to just having this option?
It's been a really honestly overwhelming response from them. The whole intent was to do something nice for them, but I guess they never really thought about the extent of how meaningful it could be. So, you know, there's been cases where it's an end of life situation. And, you know, one case I've talked about particularly, the family, you know, I sent the pictures, they sent me the pictures. I brought them in on a Sunday, and on a Monday their Nana had passed. And, they just told me they really felt it was what she needed. Seeing their faces, was what she needed to be able to let go. And, you know, they actually went as far as to bury her with the pictures that were printed. So, you know, that was just meaningful beyond belief. And then, you know, yesterday, I haven't gotten to meet all of the patients because of the precautions, but yesterday I delivered, it was the 40th delivery actually. So it was already kind of a milestone one. And it was to a gentleman I had been delivering to for over a month. I had made a couple deliveries with different pictures. and he had been in the intensive care unit, and I actually never got to meet him. And yesterday I got to meet him, and not only was he better, but he was, you know, he jumped out of bed basically when I came in with the next envelope, and he had all the other pictures I had delivered were, they were displayed across from his bed on a counter that was in his hospital room. And he said that those were what kept him alive and are what's keeping him going. And, you know, he even made me take a picture with the display because he just was so happy to have them that he wanted me to know that. So it's been a really humbling experience to be able to see this side of things right now.
Absolutely. It's always good to hear just something that makes you smile at this point after all the news we've been hearing in general.
Yes, exactly.
Those with loved ones being treated at Lowell General Hospital who need a pick-me-up can submit a request to picturesforpatients@lowellgeneral.org. Anyone interested in contributing to the project's future, Gina has launched a PayPal with that same email, picturesforpatients@lowellgeneral.org, and a Venmo, picturesforpatients. All of the money raised is going directly to supplies for the project, and Gina says that any leftover will be donated to random acts of kindness through her community. This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly. Reach out to us at any time at COVID19@radiomd.com. That's now just COVID19@radiomd.com. I hope you're enjoying these first days of June and staying vigilant and protected in your communities. I'm Caitlin White. Stay safe and 6 feet apart.